Chapter 13. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We'll start reading at verse number 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you today for the wonderful grace of God. I'm so thankful, Lord, we can bring our prayer requests to you and know that you love us and care about us, Father, and care about those things which we care about. And I pray, Lord, as we lift them up to you, that each one, Lord, would be answered in such a way as it would bring honor and glory to thy name. And so, Father, once again tonight, this preacher needs your power, your wisdom, and I ask you for it in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The second beast that we see here in verse number 11, the Bible says, rises up out of the earth. And in verse number 12, he talks about that he causes the earth, those that dwell on the earth, to worship the first beast. Now, I'm going to take just a moment, and I'm going to go back to John, the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter. 16th chapter of John. And read verse number 12 through 14. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And this is John 16, verse number 12. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The reason that I read those verses of Scripture, Satan is an imitator. And I hope that you'll understand that we talk at the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Satan also has imitated with a Trinity. It's him, Satan, or called the dragon, and then the first beast, which is the Antichrist, and the second beast, which is the false prophet. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is, and it might help you as you deal with people in charismatic corners. Most of the time, many times, they will do a lot of lifting up the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with thanking God for the Holy Spirit and learning about the wonderful Holy Spirit. And in fact, praying and asking the Holy Spirit to help you pray and to help you learn the Bible. That is right and that is proper. That is true and that's what we ought to do. But in many charismatic circles, you will see the Holy Spirit lifted up as a place of priority over Jesus Christ. Now, the reason I'm saying that is the Holy Spirit of God says himself, as he bore witness here, as he inspired the Scripture to be taught, in verse number 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. He's not the one who's going to be lifted up. He says, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, and he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And that's the Lord Jesus saying, the Holy Spirit of God will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you need to remember that. Just keep that in mind. That'll help you as you go through life and you hear all kinds of different things. Remember, the Holy Spirit is going to lift up Jesus Christ. If a preacher or a teacher does not lift up Jesus Christ and honor Him and praise His name, there's something very badly wrong. Because the Holy Spirit of God will always tell a preacher to lift up Christ, to show people Christ. I mean, you don't preach about Jesus every sentence, but every message ought to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes from the Holy Spirit of God doing that. And when that's not done, it's false. Now, reason I said that is because over here in chapter 13, what you have is the imitator, the second beast, who is coming, and he is glorifying the first beast, the Antichrist. And you will see through these scriptures as we read them, you'll find out that that's his business of getting people to worship the first beast. And so he's an imitator of the Holy Spirit of God. He's a very poor imitator of the Holy Spirit of God, but he's an imitator of him. And he's called here in verse number 11, he's called the beast. Three different times in the book of Revelation, though, other places he's mentioned, chapter 16 is one of those, he is referred to as the false prophet. If you'll notice in chapter 16, verse number 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet." That's the second beast. Also in chapter 19, verse number 20, you'll notice, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Those both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." And here again, he's referred to as the false prophet. That is the second beast that we're looking at tonight in verse number 11. He's a false prophet. In chapter 20, verse number 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So once again, he's referred to here as the false prophet. And take notice, when he was cast into the lake of fire, he's 1,000 years later, he's still there. And always will be for all the ages of eternity. And he's referred to as a false prophet. So this is the beast that we are looking at. The Bible says in verse number 11, "I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." When it says another, it simply means another of the same type. In other words, the word beast there, and I think we referred to it when we saw verse number 1 in chapter 13, as a dangerous beast. It's not just a beast, but a dangerous beast. And here is of the same type as the first beast. Now, the first beast was from the sea, raised up out of the sea, or the masses of people. And of course, more than likely, he's going to be from one of the descendants from the ancient Roman Empire. I believe he's going to come out of there. I've always, in my mind, thought he might be an Assyrian. That's just Bob Ross talking about that. The reason is because Antiochus Epiphanes was an Assyrian, and God used him as an example, as a type, back in the book of Daniel, and he was the leader of the Assyrian, the four kingdoms, which divided into four kingdoms after Grecian kingdom, Alexander the Great fell and died, and it was divided into four, and Epiphanes was the leader of the Assyrians. And so that's just a thought in my mind. I don't know who he's going to be. I don't know what for sure he's going to be. But I'm sure he's going to be out of the old Roman Empire somewhere. So anyway, and then of course, the second beast, the Bible says, out of the earth. And I think in the book of Daniel, if you watch this thing in the book of Daniel and you read it, I think there's a good possibility. Again, please just bear with me. I think there's a good possibility he may have Jewish descent. I think, and the reason I believe that is because the willingness of the Jewish people to receive him so readily, this second beast. He may not have Jewish descent, but again, that's just something I believe. You go back to the book of Daniel, and it talks about the God of his fathers and some of those. So I'm just simply saying, regardless of that, he says he comes up out of the earth. In other words, he'll come to the world attention as a miracle-working religious leader. And he's going to lead the world religiously, and he's going to be a miracle worker. He's going to be professing to bring supernatural messages and prophecies. And let me say to you, that's why he's called the false prophet. He'll be the one that'll be bringing prophecies. And of course, there'll be false prophecies. There'll be prophecies given to him by Satan, but he's going to be a false prophet. And he's going to prophesy. And of course, I might take you over to Matthew just real quick. Hold your place here in Revelation. But in Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus told us about these, chapter 24. Verse number 24. Here's what the Lord said. For there shall arise... There shall arise false Christ and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, you've got to understand when Jesus said this, you've got to understand that he was not kidding us. He was not making light of it. He was saying to you and I, you better be careful. This fella is going to be a miracle worker like has never been seen upon the face of this earth. He's going to be able to do things that's just going to turn the hearts of people after him, and of course he's going to turn their hearts toward the beast. So Jesus said there will be many false Christs, false prophets. This here, the Antichrist and the false prophet, are the ultimate example or the ultimate ending of all false prophets. This is what it's all been leading to. Now, we see false prophets. We see false Christ. But there's nothing have we ever seen like this is going to be. Now, when I say we're going to see, we won't be here if you're a Christian. Thank God we won't be here. But the earth has never seen anything like this. This man is going to have all kinds of powers and ability. He's going to have oratory ability given to him by Satan to bring prophecies, to do all kinds of things that's going to turn the hearts of the people on this earth to him. So again, remember, this is not just some individual that's going to rise. He's going to have satanic powers, great satanic powers. Now, the second beast will become, I believe, the leader and the spokesman for the religious world system. And we're going to share a couple of things with you. But he's going to be the religious spokesman for all the religion. Remember, the Christians are gone. God's people are gone. That's why this modern ecumenical movement, I believe, is the beginning of the final false religious system. Now, you're seeing it today. And it's all around us. And we've kind of got used to it. We've kind of accepted it in our midst when we ought to be standing up against this mess. Because I'm telling you, this ecumenical movement, I fought that clear back, Brother Charles, when we was at Providence out there. I fought that thing. We came out of the American Baptist Convention out there, and then, of course, as soon as we left and started the church, they went right back in it. But that American Baptist Convention is a part of the National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches. And there's many churches in this area that is a member of that. And it's a mess, you see. So I'm just simply saying to you, this man, all of these things that are happening in the world today are going to ultimately come down to a religious system in which this man, this false prophet, is going to head up and become the prophet of that false system. What I believe is this. I believe that the Catholic are going to be the mainstay in it because there's so many of them. But let me say to you, the Protestant are going to be right there too. The Orthodoxes are going to be right there as they are now, all joining together and getting together as a one world system. You know, don't care what you believe. Can't matter what you think about Jesus Christ, as long as you're religious, we can get together. Well, that's what's going to happen then. Now, the second beast will be the prophet of this universal religion. He's going to be their prophet. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I just want you to listen. It's mainly designed to get you to think. But I personally do not believe this false prophet is going to be the Pope. Now, I'm going to share with you why I do not believe so. Pope's going to be involved right up to his neck. But this here false prophet is going to be somebody who can gather all of them together. And in the end, I want to show you in a minute, he will not be one even on a some kind of basis trying to point people to Christ. Listen to me. The Catholic Church, the Pope does say he's the vicar of Christ. He isn't, but they say he's the vicar of Christ. He doesn't stand against Christ, is what I'm saying. Now, that doesn't say a whole lot for him, but what I'm saying is he does not stand against Christ. This man does not ever stand for Christ. He stands for the Antichrist. This man is never pointing people toward any God in heaven. He's pointing him toward the Antichrist, the first beast. So in other words, and if you'll look over in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, here's where I believe, and we'll do more on that when we get there, but here's where I believe the Catholic Church and the Pope enter into it. In chapter 17 it says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication." Now this is the religious crew. And it says, "And the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit unto the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven horns and ten horns. Seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Don't you know, if you read your history, don't you know the Catholic Church has absolutely slaughtered multitudes of martyrs for Jesus Christ? Has been responsible for doing so? You better read your history if you don't believe that. You better get back. Catholic Church has murdered multitudes of men and women who have believed in Jesus Christ. And then in verse 7 says, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which had the seven heads and ten horns." Now if you'll notice over in verse 15 of chapter 17, "And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are people and multitudes and nations and tongues, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth." And I believe that's Rome. I believe that's Rome. And she is going to be hated by the beast, the two beasts, and the kingdom, the ten kings, and they're going to burn her. What I'm simply saying is that's the religious crowd that's going to be destroyed. They've used religion. Man has always used religion to control people. Always have done that. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to use this conglomerate of religious groups like the Catholic and the Protestant and the Orthodox that's all come together. He's going to use them for his benefit until a time when he gets tired of them. And God said that they're going to burn her and destroy her. But listen, the false prophet's not destroyed. No, let me show you how I know that. Look in chapter 19, verse 20. This is at the end of everything. This is at the end, and listen what happens. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, in which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone." These two are bedfellows. I mean, these two go together. I mean, these two, absolutely, the one is going to point everybody to Him, not to in any semblance of some kind of religion or a God in heaven. No, no. This, they're going to say, here's God, the first beast. Here He is. In fact, He sets Himself up as God in the temple of God in Jerusalem. If you'll remember that, as we find in the book of Daniel. So anyway, He will be a counterfeit person trying, of course, the first beast is a counterfeit Christ. This one is a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit of God. But listen to what it says about Him. It says He has two horns like a lamb. In other words, he's going to first of all present Himself as mocking or looking like or acting like one that like the Lamb of God. He's going to be tender. But listen to what it says in going back to chapter 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spake like a dragon. See, his words are going to be words as a dragon. Amen. You know, I preached a sermon. I hope you listened to it. If you didn't listen to it, you ought to get it. And that is, what is words without deeds? And we preach that message. Words don't mean a thing if it's not backed up by deeds. Words are worthless. And His words are worthless, because they're not backed up with godly deeds. They're ungodly deeds. That's why I'm saying to you folks, you better be careful. You better watch out. You better look. Yeah, people can speak well of you, but let me tell you, they'll knife you in the back. And not all people won't do that. I'm saying you just better be careful. You just don't look at the or listen to the words. You watch their actions. See, that's why if a person tells me they're a Christian, or if I would tell them I'm a Christian, I should act like a Christian. I should do the things that a Christian would do. Amen. And so should they. Amen. So I'm just simply saying, this man, yes, words are going to be like a dragon, you see. Oh, look like a lamb. His words are going to be like a dragon, hateful, you see. Satan's words. Anyway, verse number 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwelleth therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, these two men, as I've said, they'll come together. The one gathering in the political power. The first beast will be over political power, and the second beast will be over religious power. And he will be pointing everybody to worship that first beast, you see. And if you'll notice, the theme of his message is going to be a pseudo-resurrection of the beast. You know what pseudo means? Pseudo means false. Pseudo means it's a sham. Have you ever heard people called a pseudo-Baptist? I don't know if you've ever heard that or not, but there's a lot of people that are pseudo-Baptists. They got a name that they're Baptists, and they're as far off being a Baptist as you can get. They are false. They pretend. They're fictitious. And that's what pseudo means. This, I believe, is a pseudo-resurrection. And everybody is going to be looking to him, and that's what they're going to be pointing to him, and he's going to gain great prominence throughout all the world because of this supposedly resurrecting, this deadly wound that was healed, and the world is going to marvel at it, folks. I mean, the world's going to marvel at it, you see. And then it says in verse 13, he says, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He's going to be able to perform miracles, of course, given to him by the power of Satan. Now, I believe something. I'm just going to throw this out at you. I don't believe Satan has the ability to create anything. But he has, because God is the creator. My God is the creator. But he can rearrange things and cause things in the atmosphere to be such as he'd be able to call fire down out of heaven. He has a lot of power, but he can't create. Our God is the creator. See? So this is what this is going to do. When they see all of this going on, and he causes fire to come down from heaven, and it says he also doeth great wonders. I think the fire out of heaven is one of his great wonders that he's going to do. It's going to secure his reputation and authority over the whole world. They're going to look at him and say, goodness sakes, fire come down from heaven. Don't you remember? Did you remember that's what the two witnesses of God back in chapter 11 was able to do? The Bible said fire proceeded out of her mouth, but if you read that and look at that, it seems to be that they speak like Elijah did back in Kings, and speak and fire would come down. In other words, all they'd speak and fire would come down and devour their enemies. Now, folks, here we find, and of course this beast came along and killed them, the two witnesses. And of course, right after that, they resurrected, and the people's looking at that. The Bible said great fear come upon them, and they looked at that, and they're still wondering, well, that must have been of God. Surely, look how the resurrection, look at, now we have one who's coming along saying, I was resurrected. Not only that, I can call fire down out of heaven. I can do the same thing. And so the people's hearts are just going to be turned unto him. You see? See, people are fickle. People are fickle. You see, they'll believe the miracles of the Antichrist, but they won't believe the miracles of God. I mean, they'll believe it. You see, right now, today, if somebody had come along with some great miracle, fire down out of heaven, you'd have them flock to them. But you try to teach them about the miracles that Jesus did in the Bible, and they don't even want to believe them. So people are fickle. See, they'll listen, you see, to those things. In verse number 14, he said, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, twice in this verse it talks about those that dwell on the earth. In the book of Revelation, 13 times it talks about those that dwell on the earth. These are those folks, excepting those that it's been sealed by God Almighty. These are those who don't believe. They was left here because they didn't believe after the rapture. Now, some of those get saved, thank God. The Bible teaches there's probably multitudes that get saved, but they put their life on the line if they get saved. See, they put their life on the line. So these are earth dwellers, and they're deceived by these miracles, you see. And let me say to you, mankind has always been awed by the supernatural. Always has been. You supposedly hear of some supernatural thing that can be done, and you'll get the attentions of most of the people. They've flocked to it, you see, to hear these supernatural things. Now, in fact, as I said a while ago, the men who wouldn't believe the miracles of God will now believe these miracles, supposedly, of Satan, you see, although he's false as he can be. Now, Paul said this over in 2 Thessalonians. He said his coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs, and listen to this two words, lying wonders. Now, I want you to know something. Satan's a liar. He's a liar. Now, in all seriousness, just think with me a moment. Don't you understand why God hates lying so bad? God hates lying. Lying, the Bible teaches, is of Satan. Jesus is truth. And it's an odd thing. The world today thinks nothing about lying. Now, I'm talking about as a whole. Kids can look at you in the face and just lie to you as though there's nothing to it. Well, I want to tell you something. That's serious business. Now, when I say this, I know they're not from Satan, but that's a satanic influence. Lying is. Lying is never of God. True? No. So it's very, very serious business, you see. So that's why he called it lying wonders that he's going to be able to perform. And we find also in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, his purpose for these lying wonders is will cause men to believe the lie. If you go over in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, you'll find that out. Men will believe a lie, the lie. And he does these wonders, these lying wonders, to cause men to believe the lie. What is the lie? Well, it's the man of sin sitting in the temple of God claiming to be God. And the world is going to believe it and accept him as God. That's the lie. When it talks about the lie, it's talking about Antichrist is the lie. The beast is the lie. And he's sitting in the temple of God telling people he is God. Now, men always have been prone to be idolaters. Always have been. You look around this world, they always find some kind of God rather than the true and the living God. What they've decided is, first of all, they'll come along and they'll say God just doesn't exist. That's what humanism says. Humanism says God doesn't exist. We are the greatest. And evolution is their theory that they use. And so what we have here is, all of it has come down to these beasts and the one beast who is supposed to be the ultimate man God. And men are going to believe it because they want to believe it. Humanism, in other words, we are God and here is our God. This man is our God and he's sitting there in the temple in Jerusalem and we can see him. Man has deified men. If you'll think about it, you want to know why human beings like sports people and like that are so worshipped? It's part of humanism. Men love to worship men and to think there's nothing greater than God. Much that's going on in this country today is not just thinking somebody's good. They are absolutely worshiping those rascals. And that's all leading up. You see, men want to find somebody to worship. That's why, listen to me, please hear me. Get the posters of those sports people out of your rooms. And put up some scripture or put up something decent. You don't want to wake up every morning looking at one of those sports supposedly heroes. That's humanism. Amen? Just threw it in. But anyway, here is the God finally. And so he commands them to make an image, and I'm going to close her up here, but he commands them to make an image. And you remember the image back in Daniel of Nebuchadnezzar was made. That was the same situation back there. Everybody then was going to fall down and worship this image. And they was commanded here to make an image, and we'll talk more about that next week. But they're going to cause people worldwide to worship him. Worldwide. Now, let me say something to you about Satan's sin. In closing, Satan's sin is pride. Now, Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But let me tell you why the love of money is the root of all evil is because the pride that wants that money. Satan wanted to be as great as God. Pride. And let me say again, that's one of those reasons why we better take notice. You look in your Bible, read the book of Proverbs. God hates pride. And he will move against those who are standing on pride. And he will abase them. Even if it's we Christians, God is not going to let pride rule in our lives. He will move against it. Now you mark it down. You say, well, no, you mark it down. He maybe hadn't moved against yours yet in a big way, but you keep it and he will. Guarantee you, pride is one of the greatest problems that the Christian world has today. I'm not talking about the outside world. I'm talking about the Christian world. And folks, not a person in this room don't have to fight it. Not one person in this room that doesn't have to fight it. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you, you see, what he's going to do, he wants to cause them to consider him as God. The whole world bowed down before him. Pride. We better watch it. Heavenly Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace and your mercy and your love. Thank you for Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Thank you, Father, that he would die for us and he would be buried and rose again, the true resurrection. Thank you so much, and thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit of God that guides us and into truth and uplifts Jesus and glorifies him and becomes our comforter. And thank you, my great, wonderful Heavenly Father. And Lord, thank you for the true and one wonderful God. Thank you so much for you. And Lord, help us to be what we should be in Jesus' name. Amen.